Congregation. But the leaders of the synagogue, they had compartmentalized their belief in such a way that if Jesus could heal on this day, then something that they perceived as work, that he somehow threatened what they thought to be good and true about their own lives. And to give you an idea of the painstakingly lengths that the leaders had gone to define rest, they instituted the practice of allowing themselves to lead their donkey or ox to water. But they were not allowed to lift that water bowl, so you better make sure that that water bowl was full on Friday before sundown. God does not compartmentalize when it comes to redemption and salvation. And the neat narratives, those neat stories that we write for ourselves on how our lives are supposed to be lived, they fall apart when we become self-righteous in them, when we become so smug in what works for us that we begin to judge others for not doing it the same. Because if others don't behave the way we know it ought to be, we perceive it as somehow a threat to everything we hold as true. That somehow if you and I don't see it the same way, your way starts to threaten my sense of control and safety. It took me almost 50 years to understand up close and personal how threatened others can be when your truth and your reality doesn't fit into their truth and their reality. And I judged others for years as I sat smugly in my understanding of a good marriage. I was so bound and determined not to repeat my parents' mistakes that I felt threatened by anyone who divorced, so I judged them. And I had that judgment returned to me when I found myself no longer able to stay married. Be careful what you judge. Be careful of that thing you think you've figured out. Often something or someone close to you will require you to rethink your assuredness. And loving God and loving others requires that our judgment be damned, because life is not a formula of compartmentalized understanding. The Bible is full of its own contradictions. And our lives are no different. Life is fluid. Understanding is fluid. Time is not constant, and either are we. The only constant is Jesus Christ, who redeems and saves and heals and meets us where we are. Christ saw a woman who was crippled by a spirit, not a physical arthritis. This is a deep spiritual wound that has brought this woman into being bent over for 18 years. 18 years. Take a moment when you go home and begin making your lunch bent over. And try to understand what that feels like. Where are the people around this woman? To whom is she visible? For she is constrained into a kind of hell. She's cut off from being able to see the world around her, cut off from seeing the faces of those speaking to her, cut off from the sky and the birds and the horizon. It's been proven that you can significantly raise your state of being if you look up rather than down. For 18 years, this woman had no horizons to look towards, no bigger picture, no long-term goals, no perspective, no possibility of God's kingdom. One step in front of the other, that's all she knew. A trapped and isolated spirit, constrained and oppressed, when suddenly in her line of vision, I imagine a man crouched under her, looking into her eyes, because if we know anything about Jesus at all, we know that he is Emmanuel, God with us, God in relationship, meeting us wherever we are, in the thick of it, in the mess of it, in the pain and the oppression of it, out of the void, out of the chaos. God creates, God heals, God redeems, God gives us Christ. Now, this past week, I had a woman visit me, a woman who I met taking a Greek class in seminary, a woman who I talked to who was pleasant, who sat in the back of the classroom and kept to herself. We had a nice connection. I tend to gravitate to people who are quieter than me because they fascinate me. I also wish I was more like them. Or maybe it's because they're a good audience. I like to think the prior. But about 2 years after that class, I ran into her at the wellness center where we serve meals to women needing shelter. And since then, she's occasionally called, but we rarely connect. She's always polite. She has a good sense of boundaries around my time. And last week, she called and asked if she could come by. I realized when she was here, my first thoughts were, oh, I have so much work to catch up on. I have things to do. I hope this doesn't take long. I had my day planned out. My time was accounted for. And 15 minutes turned into 2 hours as she cried and I listened. And it soon became clear to me that this woman's spirit was crippled by an extreme reaction to germs, smoke, dogs, air, hugs, touching, her inability to sit with her dying mother in a nursing home because of the fear of what the nursing home held. So I sensed what might be diagnosed as obsessive-compulsive disorder. I can't know for sure. But what I saw and what I felt was a broken and trapped soul. And I'm not Jesus, and I couldn't heal her. And it took me the better part of an hour before I could eventually let go of my to-do list and be truly present to her. And she had no shelter for that night. I did what the deacons in the session approved my doing, which was to offer her a one-time gift from St. Luke at a cheap motel. And she was so gracious, and she was so scared. And like a scared child, she left, but then would come back to ask another question, not once, but twice. And each time I could feel her anxiety escalating as she prepared to leave. And by the third time, I decided she needed a little healthy push, like a mother gives a child. So I took a little longer getting to the door, the back door, because she was afraid to walk past the dog who was now tied up in the front. And just as a mother's heartstrings are pulled on, I got to go up to the back door a third time, but instead, this time I saw her outside my window from my desk, and I could see her with her backpack so heavy that she was weighted down and slightly hunched over, and her face was grimacing in fear. The kind of face that I recognized as my own when I'm trying not to cry in public. And then, forcing herself to be brave, she turned right outside this sanctuary, and she turned to the sanctuary, and she genuflected, making the sign of the cross over her heart. The sign of the cross to Christ, who suffered and was weighted down with a cross to bear, to Christ, who never refrains from meeting us in our time of need, not on the Sabbath, not in the 11th hour, but when we are in deep need of healing. Healing is a part of God's creation. Our part is to stop judging, stop compartmentalizing, and accept that there is no us and them. My prayer is that in that moment she had Jesus with her, helping to carry the load and allowing her to stand up a little straighter. And St. Luke gave her shelter. And maybe coming by the church allowed her to be reminded of Jesus again. Maybe it allowed her to relax into her pain so that she could see Jesus under the weight that she carried, looking up at her and reassuring her that it would be all right. Most of us have experienced that kind of weight. Most of us can recall a time when the world kept going, but time stopped in the gravity of our suffering. Most of us can recall a time in grieving when the world seems to have forgotten us because they were concerned with small matters, while we grew heavier, weighted down, and could only see the tops of our feet leading us to the next step. And then something, someone, comes to meet us in our line of sight and offers us something to lift us up a little freer, until finally we behold the glorification of a God who works in us and among us, in relationship with us and us with one another. That is our God. That is our Christ. Amen. Amen. Now we bring our prayers before one another and before God. So if you have a prayer, a joy, or a concern, please lift it now up in front of your friends and church family members. So prayers for your cousin as well, for unknown, what's his name? Dawson. For unknown. Oh, nice. Yeah. Prayers for Dawson. Others? Prayers for Marty's brother, who's not expected to live, and brother-in-law, and prayers for Marty as well, as I'll be meeting with him this week to talk about some serious matters towards the end of his own life, and prayers for him. Yes, Becky. Yes, yeah, I'm aware of prayers for Kara, who was also a mother who died of breast cancer. Prayers of resurrection for her. Yes, Mickey. Prayers for Mickey's friend who she went to school with who drowned tragically this recently. So this is the weight, right? This is the weight. And we let ourselves feel it so that Christ can come in. We don't cover it up. We don't say everything's fine. And we don't belittle our own pain by pointing to people who have it worse. We let Christ do what Christ does, which comes in and comforts us through the love of one another, through the love of birds and creation and all the other good things that God gives us. We pray for the victims of the natural disasters, the flood victims and the fires that are burning in multiple places in California and probably other places. And we pray for all those refugees from Syria and those children whose pictures we've been inundated with now all week long. And we pray that Christ comes to those that are suffering. Any joys? Yes, Cole. Yes, prayers for Lexi, their daughter who just turned 18. That's a big milestone. Many of us have been there. That's a big, big day. Yes, other prayers of joy and thanksgiving. Yes, Jean. It was her, yeah, with your family, right? Yeah, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. Prayers of celebration for that day. Yes, 30 again. Yes, Wendy. Yes, Wendy's retiring the end of this month and had herself a nice retirement party with the people that you work with, and that's wonderful. So glad. Good. Good. Any others? Yes, Mickey. Prayers for Cole. He's 25 again. Prayers of thanksgiving and that celebration. Yes, good. Good. All right, and with that, let us say the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us bring our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Thank you.
busted in your house, telling you to stay still. All the leaders will deny defeat, the innocent lie testifying, dying in the street.
The doxology sang a cappella. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Christ, all people here below. Praise Holy Spirit evermore. Praise Triune God, gracious God, we thank you for these gifts. And we ask that you help us to use them for those that are weighted down, so that those may know Jesus. Amen. Please stay standing for our closing hymn, I Shall Be Released. Oh. And we're going to start with the chorus on this. And if you don't know the verses, that's okay, because Cole and Mickey will carry you. But we'll sing out loud on the verses, on the chorus. I see light come shining from the west down to the east. This is the chorus. And any day now, I shall be released.
They say everything can be replaced.
If you know it, sing along. Here we go, chorus. I see my light come shining from the west down to the east. And any day now, I shall be released. Chorus, three times in a row. I see my light come shining from the west down to the east. And any day now, I shall be released. Again, I see my light come shining from the west down to the east. For all those people, any day now, I shall be released. Amen. Please receive the benediction. May you go from here blessed. May you be blessed with the love of Christ who meets you where you are, wherever you are, in time, in the time that God gives us so that we may rest in God. May it be so. Amen.
In first out.
Yeah, I saw that. Did you see your beautiful garden?
Just on my way to check it out.
It really looks great.
He's been such a fabulous.
Well, we planted it and God did the rest. Well, the Francis in the garden. How's John? Good. Everything's good?
Good. Nice to see you.
Nice.